From the Berkshires to the Sound, from wherever you live in MLB America, this is Inside the Parker. You give us 22 minutes and we'll give you the scoop on Major League Baseball. Now here's Baseball Hall of Fame voter number 103, Rob Parker.
Welcome into Inside the Parker. I'm your host, Rob Parker. I'm here, you're there. Coming up on the program, we'll have former Major League outfielder Gary Matthews Jr. He'll talk about the playoffs. Also stopping by, former A's and Giants pitcher Barry Zito. Barry Zito has a new book. We'll talk about that and much more. Let's go.
To lead off, it's getting robbed.
And keep him up.
Rob's hot take on the three biggest stories in Major League Baseball.
Number one.
The Nationals did it. Finally, the Washington Nationals have advanced in the postseason. How many times have they stumbled? They've had good teams, great pitching staffs, and they were never able to get over the hump to advance. It was always disappointment. And finally, 2019, they win the wild card game against the Milwaukee Brewers Tuesday night, and they advance. They will be a tough out. They will be scary as we move forward. Whenever you have pitching, you have a chance. You don't need a lot of hitting. You need timely hitting. But pitching gives you a chance, and the one thing that the Nationals have is pitching. And when you think about where they started this season and how bad it was after losing Bryce Harper and where they are now, it's a big step for this organization. Hats off to the Washington Nationals.
Number two.
Can't wait for tonight's AL wildcard game. That's right, Wednesday night in Oakland as the A's take on the Tampa Bay Rays. I know some people are going, Oakland against Tampa, wowsy, wowsy, woo, woo. Two bad franchises. But actually, these teams have been playing pretty well, and both teams have played well all year long. It will be interesting to see which team can move on and then have to face the Houston Astros in the ALDS. But Tampa Bay, if you really take a look at them, they played well all year. They were really never out of the mix for the playoffs. They have some pitching. They have some timely hitting. And if you look at their last 10, 11 years, they've averaged almost 90 wins, which no one would ever believe because they haven't made the playoffs that often. But this year they did. And for the Oakland A's, it still comes down to, you could talk about Billy Beane, analytics, Moneyball, all that, but they just haven't been able to advance in the postseason. They've won and made the playoffs with a small payroll, but they just can't seem to get over the hump. Will they actually get over the hump this time? Can't wait. Wednesday night, AL wild card.
Number three.
Say it isn't so. Joe Maddon gets bounced from Chicago. He was the first Cubs manager to ever get the team to the playoffs 4 years in a row. Of course, the Cubs didn't make the playoffs this year, but he's out in Chicago, and it's not going to be a surprise if he winds up in Anaheim with the LA Angels. After all, he spent 30 years in that organization, and they've already broomed out Brad Ausmus, so it looks like this is a match made in heaven, and he will buck the trend. Joe Maddon will buck the trend. They're not hiring any old managers anymore in baseball. They want analytics guys. They want young guys who are going to take the lineup card from the front office and not give the front office any lip. All these old guard managers are out. Joe Girardi, Buck Showalter, Dusty Baker, all these guys can't get a gig. Mike Socha. They're all on the outside looking in, but Joe Maddon looks like he will buck the trend, get a job as a manager because of his history there and his success. He's the guy who won a World Series in Chicago with the Cubs, ending a 108-year drought. So good for the Angels to take a good manager out there and decide that they're going to go with him despite what the trend in this baseball and despite his age and say they believe in Joe Maddon. Good luck to Joe Maddon if, more like when, he gets the gig in Anaheim.
Here comes the big interview. Listen and learn.
Oh, it's so good.
All right, now let's welcome to the podcast Cy Young Award winner and a two-time World Series champion, yes, Barry Zito. He has a new book called Curveball. We're going to get to that. But, Barry, first, thanks for joining the podcast.
Oh, absolutely, Rob. It's a lot of fun, man. I'm honored to be on here, man.
Appreciate it. Before we get to some other stuff in your new book, this has always bothered me, and I hope you can help me with this. Maybe this bothered you, too. How did they do the movie Moneyball, right, about Billy Bean and analytics, but there was very little mention of you, Zito, Hudson, and Mulder in that movie? You guys were as big a part of what was going on with the A's than anything.
Yeah, that was, you know, obviously, you know, with Hollywood and stuff, they gotta make money and they gotta appeal to a wide audience. And, you know, I think there was a lot to focusing on that part of the story. I mean, I think it was just really interesting how it all went down. But, you know, as we know in baseball, you can't really win without good pitching. And we certainly had great pitching. And Tejada won an MVP that year as well, which was incredible.
No doubt about it. That always bothered me about the movie. But I get it. People do what they want to do. Speaking about baseball, the playoffs are about to kick off. Tell me about the Oakland A's, because here's another year, and you know what? They're in the playoffs.
Man, they just have some kind of magic formula of, you know, keeping the cost down and just always winning, always being competitive out there. And I really do think there's an X factor in that clubhouse of just, you know, it may be something cultural or just good vibes, but you know, in that clubhouse, man, those guys can always just be themselves, and I feel like that really contributes to their success on the field.
One of the greatest ballparks in this country, they keep changing the name, but the Giants' home ballpark, which I still call Pac Bell, because what a beautiful ballpark on the water. Talk about, and the fans in San Francisco are unbelievable. Talk about playing with the Giants, and you won a World Series with the Giants as well.
Yeah, you know, that ballpark was always a special place for me, too, coming up in Oakland. But I'll tell you, something happened in 2010 that a lot of people don't know about. But, you know, those fans were not always as intimidating as they are now. You know, we used to come over there from Oakland, and it just wasn't really the same dynamic in the, you know, back then Pac Bell and then AT&T. And, man, when we ended up, you know, winning that 2010 World Series and going on that run, I mean, something just changed. Something in the air was different in San Francisco, and it just became such a crazy place to play, and especially when the Giants were, you know, competitive and doing their World Series run. I mean, nobody wanted to come in there.
Yeah, baseball has changed a lot over the last few years. Do you still recognize the game?
You know, I got a full life, you know, in Nashville with music and family and all that. But, you know, I'll tell you, it's definitely different. I feel like it is geared more toward the young player, and I understand why, but to be honest, man, just a few years removed, I don't recognize too many names on those rosters anymore.
Yeah, there's a lot of young players, a lot of home runs, and a lot of strikeouts. Can you get over that?
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely a different thing. I mean, I pitched, you know, in the early 2000s, the home run balls were going, but I don't even think at the rate they are now. I mean, they're breaking records almost every year now, it seems. And I know they say that's what the fans want to see with home runs, but I feel like the true baseball fans, you know, really enjoy a good 1-0 pitcher's duel. There's really nothing like that.
No doubt about it. Tell us about the book, Curveball. What made you write it?
Yeah, I think, you know, as professional athletes, we tend to have a little bit, you know, kind of maybe too thick a skin, and we got to protect ourselves in certain ways from, you know, a lot of public opinion and all that. But what ends up happening too often is you end up really not being honest and being authentic and really speaking the truth. And so, you know, I went through some pretty dark stuff in my career, and I just thought it was good to clear my conscience and just be honest about how hard it actually was to live my dream, you know, of being in the major leagues and, you know, making money. And that was all great, but there was this deep unrest in me that caused me to do a lot of destructive things in my career. And you know, I finally ended up finding peace at the end, but it was not without all those struggles and pain.
How about the last thing, money? When you signed that 7-year, $126 million contract, which at the time was the richest contract for a pitcher, did your life change immediately? Did you feel different, like, after you signed that piece of paper?
You know, yeah, I did interviews at that time and, you know, just saying, oh, no big deal, man. I'm just going to go out there and do what I do. But, you know, there was a fear in me that I wasn't going to live up to it, that I wouldn't be enough to justify that money. And, you know, frankly, I just feel like I took too much credit for my success in my career, certainly early in my career. And I didn't have enough gratitude for, you know, these incredible blessings on my life that, you know, I really had nothing to do with. I mean, I was throwing a baseball like every other kid growing up, and for some reason I just got to get to the highest level. But, yeah, so I just think I have some entitlement, and it led to a lot of, you know, disaster situations, and being left off that 2010 roster was the worst of it, man.
No doubt about it. His name, Barry Zito. His book is called Curveball, man. You should check it out. The former, of course, Cy Young Award winner and two-time World Series champion. Hey, Barry, best of luck, man, with the book, and thanks for joining the podcast. We appreciate you.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, man.
It's time for the Pocket Protector Central. The analytic numbers you need to know. Well, maybe.
FS1's Anthony Masterson is his name. BS Analytics is his game. What do you got for me, Anthony? It's playoff time.
It is playoff time, Rob, a time of year where small sample sizes take over in baseball, and sometimes the cream doesn't necessarily rise to the top. Just because you won 100 games doesn't guarantee you'll be hoisting that trophy at the end of October. Even the mouthpiece of modern analytics, Billy Bean, knows that, quote, his stuff doesn't work in the playoffs. I cleaned it up for the podcast. October is the time where unlikely heroes can rise up, and it's how well these players perform in a small sample size, like I said. In a 162-game season, having a hot month can turn cold and stay that way. In the playoffs, players who perform with men in scoring position are lauded as heroes because there's no time to cool off. Now, in the wild card era, only one player had 10 or more hits with men in scoring position during a single postseason, and it ain't exactly a household name. In 2002, the Angels' Scott Spezio had an incredible postseason run, hitting .327 with 19 RBI as the Angels took home their first World Series title. Now, he was even more incredible with men on, hitting .688, that's 11-for-16, with runners in scoring position. That was twice as high as his regular season .336 mark, already a very respectable number, but something we can see as a trend come October. Now, in that same time, do you know which player had the most total postseason hits with men in scoring position, Rob?
Who's
no surprise
that?
It's a Yankee, of course. It ain't Jeter, Rob. It ain't Jeter. Bernie Williams had 37 in his run to four World Series titles with the Yanks.
Burn, baby, burn. And you know what? I can use what you just gave me. Thank you, Anthony Masterson. We appreciate you.
Hey, what's that? That ball is.
It was a big week in the big leagues.
Who's up? Who's up?
I don't believe it. My, oh, my.
Is it foul or is it fair? And now, here's ShadowLeague.com MLB insider, J.R. Gamble.
Brad Ausmus is out as manager of the Los Angeles Angels after just one season. JR, is that foul or fair?
That's fair.
It's a fair ball.
For a team that has made the playoffs once in 10 years, back in 2014, despite having the best player in baseball, it makes sense. It even makes more sense, Rob, when you realize that Joe Madden is available. And Madden will return to the organization that he had roles in for, what, 30 years from 75 to 2005, and also had a couple of brief stints. It is a no-brainer and a definite upgrade. So where's the beef? That's like asking me if I prefer Precious to Vivica Fox. Ausmus led them in 72 wins, the team's worst record in 20 years. I think they won 70 in 99. Before that, with Detroit in 4 years, and I know, Rob, you had a ball with him. He went from a 90-win team to a 64-win laughing stock. The Angels need an entire mentality reconstruction. And Madden's proved he can rebuild franchises. Look for the Angels to be better right away if they hire Madden.
Good stuff, man.
Fasten your seatbelt.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
Here comes Parker's top three MLB teams this week. Number three.
The Los Angeles Dodgers. Yes, Three is a good number for them because they're trying to make it to the World Series for the third year in a row. They have everything you would want on paper. They got the hitting. They got the starting pitching. They've been there, done that. My only question mark is their bullpen. That's why I make them number three.
Number two.
The Houston Astros. I know they won the most games in baseball. I know they have a three-headed monster starting rotation with Verlander and Cole and Greinke. I get it. And they have hitting, and they've been there. They've done that. They won the World Series in 2017. But it doesn't mean it's automatic that they're going to win a World Series despite having all the stuff that you would say. Often teams who have the best record don't actually win the World Series, so it's not automatic.
Number one.
I've been saying it almost from the very first week of the season on this podcast, the New York freaking Yankees. I know they've had injuries. I know they don't have a great rotation. I know, but what they do have is firepower. They're very deep. They got a lot of young players, a lot of experience during the regular season, and guess what else they have? They have an unbelievable bullpen. That's how you win big games in the postseason. Yes, they just need five good innings out of a starter. If they get that, they can piecemeal the back end of the game, and they can win a World Series for the first time since 2009. The Yankees are the best team in baseball as we enter the playoffs.
Take out the paper, then the trash.
It's time for Trash Talk Twitter. Your chance to trash anyone or anything in Major League Baseball.
This week's winner is at Ben Bon Jovi. He tweets this. I bet the Braves don't sell out their home games in the playoffs. Wow. I know Atlanta's a bad sports team, but really, Ben? If you want a chance to win a new era snapback like Ben did, send your trash to @RobParkerFS1 on Twitter.
When Rob was a newspaper columnist, he lived by this motto. If I'm writing, I'm ripping. Let's bring in a writer or broadcaster, old or new.
All right, now let's welcome to the podcast former All-Star outfielder Gary Matthews Jr., who, of course, his dad was the Rookie of the Year in 1973, Gary Matthews. He joins the podcast. How you doing, Gary?
Rob, I'm doing really well. Thanks for having me, man. You went back to 1973. You've been doing your research.
Oh, yeah. You know that. I watched your dad play when I was young, growing up, watching baseball, man. He was a good player. He really was.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you.
So let's do this playoff edition interview here. First, before we get there, you played for the Angels, and they just fired their manager, Brad Ausmus, and now they're looking at Joe Madden, who was a part of the organization for a long time, 30 years. You know Joe Madden. He was there when you were there. Tell me about him.
You know, Brad Ausmus was a former teammate of mine. I was actually a rookie in San Diego when Brad Ausmus was still in the league catching. So, you know, obviously disappointed to see him go, but hopefully he gets another opportunity here shortly. But when you think about Joe Madden, you think about the work that he did with the Rays, right? And the way that he's able to connect with the younger generation, these younger players. He has the respect of the veterans, right? But also can relate to this younger generation, you know, these energetic players, players who love to express themselves and play kind of free. And, you know, I think Joe Madden seen as a manager who would be more considered a player's manager, right? But has the respect of the front office and the ability to, I guess, keep the team loose, but also make them respect the game and play within the confines of the way the organization expects them to play.
Gary, when you look at this postseason, there are a lot of good teams. I want to go to the top-heavy teams. When you look at the Astros, who on paper have everything, the Dodgers, another team that up to, you know, top to bottom is stacked. They're trying to get to the World Series for a third year in a row. Then you have the Yankees that have had all kinds of injuries, like at a ridiculous rate, yet they still won over 100 games, and they kept it together, and they've getting some people back. Out of those three top teams, who do you like the most as we go forward and the playoffs kick off?
Gosh, you know, I think about those, the depth of the Yankees, right? To be able to deal with the amount of injuries that they've had, but have the depth to still be able to score the runs. You know, the bullpen's pitched well. I like the Yankees, but when you look at the cohesiveness of the Astros, right? Just the cohesiveness of their full season, right? They've been playing on all cylinders basically all year. And so really when it comes down to it, it's, you know, who's going to be not only healthy, but able to play the way that you need to play in the playoffs, right? You got to be playing on all cylinders. You got to be pitching well. You got to be playing defense well. And, you know, we all know that we look at the home runs, the way the home runs have been hit this year. Traditionally, the pitching, you know, gets the better of the hitters in the playoffs. But what are we going to see this postseason? It's going to be interesting to see it. And then you look over at the National League. You look at the Dodgers, you know, they're pretty much everyone's pick coming out of the National League. But then you look at the American League versus the National League and just the power behind those offensive teams having a DH all year. You know, we're definitely going to see some runs, I think. I don't think this is going to be your average postseason where you see a lot of the pitching kind of dominating the hitters. I think this is going to be an offensive postseason, which really at the end of the day, like I'm a purist, but I'm like everyone else. I love to see the offense also.
How about the, you know, being a baseball purist, when the wild card was first introduced, I did not like it. I liked the way baseball was. You had to earn your way in. But I do now. I've accepted it. I do like the way that they do it, where the two wild cards play. Tuesday night it was the National League, and then tonight it's going to be on Wednesday the American League. And where are you on that? Do you like the way it is, too, so that those two kind of X out one of them and only one wild card is allowed to advance?
You know, having grown up in the game, I grew up as a purist, being a second-generation player, but to attract more fans and to attract a younger generation, the game has to evolve. And I love the format, right? I love the way that they've set up the format where it's a one-game playoff, and, you know, whoever wins goes forward. So the team has to truly leave it all out on the field for that game. And really, heading into that next series, it kind of sets them up where, you know, if they go further in the playoffs, they've definitely earned it. I think the format's exciting. I think it brings kind of new eyes to the game and gives it a change. You know, the game has to evolve and it has to grow. And like I said, I was a purist. I wasn't a huge fan of it. But guess what? I'm going to be tuning in to watch a one-game playoff. I know that. And ultimately, I think that's what the game wanted.
You also mentioned a little bit ago about the home runs and the ball flying out. The commissioner said that he's going to look into the ball, whether or not they alter it, change it. I think there's a combination. You know, like fans love the home right. run, and they just do. Maybe this was a little over the top. Too much is not always too, you know, good for you. Would you like to see the ball altered a little bit or just leave it the way it is?
You know, I've had this conversation all year, and you know, so I should issue a disclaimer at this point that my younger brother Dell works for Major League Baseball at headquarters in New York. He's actually the head of Major League Baseball Youth Development, along with my former GM Tony Regan. So we have this conversation often. You know, look. Clearly, there's a difference, right? Let's say that. It doesn't take a genius to figure out what our eyes are telling us. There is a difference. How they've done it or how that's come about, I don't know. But clearly, it's changing the game, right? And so there has to be, you know, somewhere of a middle ground, I guess you could say. And, you know, look, I love offense. I've had jokes with my father. I was telling my father 2 weeks ago, he was here visiting me in L.A., and I told him, I said, Pop, if you were playing today, you might hit 40 home runs. And my dad was a good offensive player. And I don't think he hit more than 28 in a season. And, you know, 28 during the late 70s or early 80s was absolutely banging.
Oh, yeah.
28 home runs today plays to about 45, depending on the park that you're playing in. And, you know, when you're seeing, guys get beat by fastballs and the ball still goes out of the park, you're seeing broken bat home runs. You know, at the end of the day, like I said, the game continues to evolve. We're trying to get a younger fan base. And I think make no mistake about the talent of the players today, right? You could also say that pitchers are throwing harder than they ever have. Hitters have a better understanding of their approach and what they can do when they can do it earlier in their careers because of all the training that goes on when these guys are young, you know? So I think you combine all of those things, right? It's not just the ball. I think it's the talent of the players. I think it's stronger pitchers who are throwing harder, throwing faster. You look at a radar during the game and the radar is lit up. You know, it seems like everybody's throwing 95 plus now. And you throw in all of those things like, pitchers throwing harder, but maybe, you know, more teams in the league and maybe some guys that maybe 10 years ago, 15 years ago may not have been in the league, right? So there's less experience, but still unbelievably talented, and clearly that equals offensive production, more home runs, and, you know, a lot more fly balls.
His name is Gary Matthews Jr., and he played for the Padres, Cubs, Pirates, Mets, Orioles, Padres again, Rangers,
yeah,
Angels,
I know, right?
And the Mets again. There you go. That means you had to be.
I bounced around a lot.
You had
bounced
to be
around
a lot
early in my early career when I finally figured it out. You know, I spent the last 10 years with two teams. I think we finished up that last year in New York with the Mets. But I did bounce around a lot, a little bit when I was younger, and, you know, finally came into my stride and figured it out as I got older.
Well, we appreciate you being on the podcast. Thanks for the knowledge. Thanks, Gary.
Rob, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Now bring in the closer.
Strike one.
Strike two.
Strike three.
He's out. Here's why MLB is better than the NFL or NBA, and it isn't even close.
Reason number 3,000 why Major League Baseball is better than the NBA and better than the NFL. All you have to do is see the difference in how you watch baseball come postseason time. It's a totally different way of watching the game. Not too many sports change, but in baseball, you watch every single pitch in the playoffs. It just has a much bigger effect. When you watch regular season baseball, you can watch the game. You can come in and out. But when it's time for the postseason, you sit at the edge of your seat, and every pitch is a big pitch. Every pitch not called a strike, fans are irate. It might cost them. A player might come back and get a big hit on a missed call on a ball and strike pitch. Also, there just seems to be way more drama. The hits, if it's a big hit in the first inning or a big hit in the seventh inning or eighth inning, and then go back to the end of the game, trying to close out playoff games. Bullpens, we've seen it. We've seen guys collapse under the pressure of the playoffs and trying to close out a playoff game. It is the best baseball that it is to watch come postseason. The postseason of baseball ranks second to none. Watch, enjoy, roll around in it. That's how good it's going to feel. In the words of New York TV legend, the late Bill Jorgensen, thanking you for your time this time until next time. Rob Parker, out.
He can't get it. This could be an inside to Parker.
See you next week. Same bat time, same bat station.